Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. I am your host. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. If you want to be a part of the show. How are you feeling today? How are you holding up? World's kind of gone nuts, hasn't it? Well, it has, but it's been nuts for a long time. All we're doing is just seeing the veneer pulled off. What do we do? How do we function in this? What is this like for us as caregivers, for us as believers, for us as just human beings? How do we function in this? Let me start off this morning with a update in my life. My wife has indeed been tested with the virus and is positive for this, and she is under quarantine right now, as am I, and we are doing this together. Now, I'm not symptomatic. I don't have a fever. Have a cough, but I've had a cough for a while, and I get a cough this time every year, and I also am feeding horses every day and going into a barn filled with hay, and so who knows? But she, on the other hand, is sick. She is recovering nicely, and she is, well, nicely is not the right word. She would say, no, I'm recovering, but I don't feel nicely. So we're going to talk about this morning. As a caregiver, as people who are engaged with people who are struggling and suffering, this is not the first sickness we've been through with Gracie, a serious sickness. We've been through actually far worse with Gracie. But it is up close and real and personal with us now. We came all the way out to where we are in Montana thinking we'd get away from all these things, and but she had to see a specialist in a major city, and evidently that's where it got picked up. We're not sure yet. We're still working on that. So this is the world we're living in, and this is where we are, and how are we going to navigate through this? Let's start off with Proverbs 3:21 through 35. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. How's that for a scripture this morning about what we're dealing with? I think that you're watching a lot of different reactions with this. I know that we are. When Gracie first became symptomatic, I thought it was strep because she is prone to that. My wife has had 80 surgeries. She's a double amputee, and she is no stranger to significant amounts of infections and so forth. Like many of you all are dealing with a loved one who is vulnerable and who is an at-risk individual. And she is certainly an at-risk individual, and that risk has manifested itself now with a positive test for the coronavirus. So what do we do? How do we function? How do we endure this thing? Well, I think we use a lot of common sense. The good news is, and this will be, I think, comforting to a lot of you all, is that she is recovering with over-the-counter medications and treatments. I mean, she's not in the hospital. We are quarantined and will be that way for some time. But you know what? As caregivers, we get the whole quarantine thing. Caregivers suffer from three I's. We lose our identity, which is one of the reasons I do this show, is to help caregivers find their own voice. And certainly it's been one to help me find mine. We become isolated, and we lose our independence. Well, so we're not strangers to this world of social distancing. And this is where we are. And so we're okay. Actually, I've been, I don't live like meal to meal. As a caregiver, I have to plan and I have to think through things for groceries and so forth. And what do we do? And we've been dealing with that. We live in a very... where we live is winters are pretty severe out here. And so, we plan for being stuck up here in the snow for you know, days. Sometimes you can be stuck up here for weeks. And so I've been doing that since November. So we're okay. I did have a dream the other night that I went downstairs and found a closet full of toilet paper and stock full of toilet paper and soap. And I didn't know what that was all about. Some of you, I don't need anybody that interprets dreams to call, please. Just leave that alone. But it was a real dream. And it's one of those things where we use a lot of common sense. And that's what this scripture talks about. Just, you know, just being having common sense. For those of us who are caregivers, we're, particularly if you've had somebody with a lot of wound care and so forth, you know, there's a lot of common sense that goes into play with this. And I've had to gown up and change very complex dressings at home with Gracie. I've had to do all kinds of things with her over the years. She's had MRSA. She's had all kinds of things. It's just part of the journey. It's not pleasant. We don't like it. Yet here we are. And so I go back and look at the Israelites when they were told to go out and put blood on the doorpost and the lintel so that the angel of death would pass over it. Now, I know a lot of people out there, there's so many memes. There's more memes out there than I think there is virus. And it's, you know, people saying if you put Chick-fil-A sauce on the doorpost and the lintel, you know, okay, I appreciate the humor with it. But the bottom line is they had to act. They had to do what they were told. They had to be obedient in order to protect themselves. That's what we do. And we have done to the best of our abilities. We have tried to do that with Gracie particularly because she's an at-risk person. But here we are. And we still don't know exactly how she contracted this. Because we have tried to be as prudent as possible with her. But she is an at-risk individual. They are looking at me rather with great puzzlement because I'm her caregiver 24/7. I'm with her all the time. And they're thinking, well, why aren't you showing signs of this? And so these are not the first people to look at me and scratch their head, but that's a whole different story and a whole different show. And so we're going to stay put. I mean, my life really hasn't changed all that much. As soon as I finish the show today, I go up there and I make breakfast for Gracie, and I get on my winter gear and go down and feed the horses and get in that barn again. So I am covering my face a little bit more in the barn around the hay. Now, the hay doesn't have the coronavirus. The hay just has hay. And those of you out there suffering from hay fever understand that. And so we'll find out Monday whether or not I test positive for this. But again, I'm not symptomatic. Don't even have a fever. And I want, though, this to be a source of encouragement. Gracie has significant health issues, but she's getting through this. She is not in any kind of dire circumstances. They sent her home. We're treating it with common sense medicine, over-the-counter stuff. You know, my dad has a long-time quote. He listens to the show, and he'll get a big charge out of this, but Dad said most of life's ailments can be solved by puking it, popping it, or taking NyQuil. You know, and so, but just a lot of common sense. And I wanted to come on and just share this. Okay, this is reality now. And those who've been listening to this show for a long time, you know me, you know our story, and this is where we are. All right, so what are we going to do about it? We're going to freak out? We're going to trust God with this and just use some common sense and be obedient to the steps that we're asked to do. Common sense, all right? How are you doing? 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 if you want to just check in with the show. Let me hear from you. We'll get to our calls. We've got to go to a break. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.
He will be strong to deliver me safe, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. How are you holding up? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? 888-589-8840. If you want to be a part of the show, that's Gracie singing with Russ Taff from her new record, Resilient. And she is resilient. Even in the presence of the coronavirus, she is resilient and she is recovering and she is going to be okay. And I want that to be a source of comfort to you all. I know there's a lot of fear out there. She's an at-risk individual, and guess what? She got it. We don't know about me yet, but then again, a lot of people haven't known about me for a long time. And that's a separate show. That's a separate dialogue with a lot of trained mental health professionals. But they tested me yesterday. It was kind of surreal. I drove down to the clinic. They asked me to go down. They asked me to stay in the car. And the guy came out in a hazmat suit, and they stick a swab up your nose, and then I have to wait till Monday. Again, I'm not symptomatic, and she's been symptomatic since a week ago Friday, and she's been out of the public. As soon as she got any kind of symptoms that we potentially recognize, it's hard with her because she gets sick a lot. I mean, she has a lot of health issues. We don't know with her what's going on, and it's very difficult sometimes to know, okay, is this this or is this this, whatever, and taking her to the hospital or to the doctor is a real pain, and we try to not do that as much as possible unless there's something that is extraordinary. And but this is one of those things where the doc says, look, you got to come down there. They sequestered her out. They did a bunch of tests. They ruled out strep. They ruled out everything else. They said, all right, we're going to just do this as a precaution. And then it came back positive. So here's where we are. And but they're all still looking at me with puzzled looks because I'm not symptomatic. And I don't have a fever. They tested me yesterday. Don't have a fever. And we use a lot of precautions. There's a chance that I'll probably end up testing positive. Who knows? But do we need to be living in fear and craziness about this? I think this is the time where we as believers have an opportunity to demonstrate that our trust is in God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that we are not at the mercy of something, that He is sovereign even over all this. If He's Lord at all, then He's Lord of all. Now, we have to use some common sense. We have to use some discretion. We have to use some changed behavior. You know, but how is that any different? You wear a seatbelt when you get in the car, don't you? You know, I had a lady call in one time to the show, and she said she doesn't see her doctor. She hadn't seen her doctor in years, that the Lord is her doctor. And I asked her, I said, well, how does the Lord check your cholesterol? You know, you trust in God and you put on a seatbelt. How's that any different from anything else that we deal with? And you take the wisdom and the counsel from all the professionals that are giving us guidance, and you use your best judgment. But as caregivers, we've been doing that for a long time. Particularly those of you involved with very, very sick individuals who are dealing with wound care issues or susceptible to things or whatever. We've been doing this for a long time. This is not my first rodeo with taking care of Gracie through some type of viral sickness or infection. As I mentioned in the last segment, she's had MRSA twice, and she was hovering. I mean, we really didn't think she was going to make it, but she pulled through. She is a tough, tough gal, and anybody that knows her will attest to that. She is one tough gal. I mean, just the fact alone, she's been married to me for 34 years, ought to tell you something. And either that or she's just a glutton for no, I'm just, well, I don't know. You know, you have to ask her, but she is she is doing okay, and she's just going to have to ride this thing out, and just like so many others are. And but we don't have to live in fear, and we're not going to. We use common sense, and we trust in God in this. How are you doing with this? How are you feeling? You know, fear is one of those things. It's one of those seven caregiver landmines. It's in my book, Seven Caregiver Landmines and How You Can Avoid Them. And What happens a lot of times with fear is that we start living in the wreckage of our future. We've already got this thing mapped out. And I am just as guilty of that as anyone and everyone. And I told John, our producer on the show, I told him he needs to cut a spot that jumps in that says, the views expressed by the host of the show are not things that he owns, but things that God's working at him, even as he says them. So we may have to continue doing that. I would like to tell you that I own all these things. I would like to tell you that I have a handle on all of these things, but I don't. I have to say them. I have to hear them. I have to be reminded of them. I don't think we as caregivers need a lot of instruction, but we do need a lot of reminders. I can't instruct you to take care of your loved one any more than you can instruct me to take care of Gracie. But we can remind each other of where the path to safety is. We can remind each other of what help looks like. We can remind each other of the faithfulness of God. We can remind each other that this world is filled with many dangers, toils, and snares. But that we can remind each other that he brings us through these things. And that's what we need to do. And that's what the world needs to see us do, that we can be calm. The challenge for us is how we respond to this. And as you've heard, as anyone of you who have listened to this show for any period of time will know, I've come to a realization is that for me as a caregiver, I have fought the wrong enemy. I would fight diseases that I have no power over. I would fight Gracie's chronic pain. I would fight medical providers that didn't do what I thought they should do, or insurance companies, or you know, friends or families that didn't help the way I wanted to do it. I would fight Gracie. I would fight all kinds of things. And then I had to come to this realization that the enemy is not the sickness and the pestilence and the dysfunction or the disability. The enemy is me. And how I respond to it. Am I reacting or am I responding? And, you know, I don't have to torture myself with fear. And I think that's what a lot of us do. At least I know I do. I don't know if I'm the only one. I can't be the only one. Surely not. Not that I mean to call you Shirley. But I think that this is our battle. Are we going to stay calm in the midst of these things? Are we going to freak out? And I cringe when I think about all the times that I freaked out. Still do. You know, and I would love to tell you that I don't. You know, I host the nation's largest radio program for family caregivers. You would think that I would be the model, but I'm not. I'm just somebody who is just in this with you, just like we all are. But the experience that I've had has given me a bit more perspective that he is faithful. And I've learned a lot of these things the hard way, when you have failed as many times as I've failed. But even in those failures, we get an opportunity to see his provision. And I think this is something that we make a very serious mistake at as believers. Is that somehow we think we got to squint our eyes real hard and be really strong people of faith so God will approve of us. And God approved of us because of what he did, not because of what we do. And the work that he's doing in us. He rescued us from something far worse than a virus. There's a greater virus out there. And he rescued us from that while we were yet enemies. With him. We don't consider ourselves enemies with God, but until we come to a place of faith in Christ, that's exactly what we're classified as. And sin begets sin begets sin. Sin cannot do anything but continue more sin. And there has to be something radical that changes that. And we can't wish it away. We can't, you know, pray real hard and spin around and click our heels three times and everything else. We're going to have to trust him to guide us through this thing and to sanctify us through this process. And he's doing that. And sometimes he uses the most crazy things or even the craziest people to be a part of that. And I was listening to one man say, you know, I think God's trying to get our attention. God doesn't try to do anything. God does it. The question is, how are we responding to it? And in all of Scripture, you can go back and look. I don't see God trying to do anything. It's not like he's like, well, I got that one. I almost got it. No, he doesn't do it. He is purposed in everything he does. Now, we don't understand it. And we don't even have to like it. We don't even have to agree with it. But we're not consultants either. And he doesn't look to us for us to give him our approval. The question is, are we going to trust him, even in the face of a global pandemic? Now, for those of you who are long-term caregivers, and you know who you are, you have faced some really ugly things in your life. And I will give you this picture. When Gracie gave up her right leg, this was back in 1991. She was 25 years old. And we had done so many surgeries trying to save that leg. And finally, we reached the end of all the surgeries. And her surgeon said, look, when this is bad enough, you let me know. And finally, we got to that point. And we had a bunch of friends and family in the hospital room and the morning of. And she'd made this decision. And here's this young, she's a young mother at this time. The doctor comes in, cleans the room out, just clears it out. It's just me and Grace. And he looked at her and said, I'm going to ask you one more time. Does it hurt this bad? And she said, yeah, take it off. Very resolved. And she told me later, she said, I didn't know what was on the other side of that operating room door, but I knew who was. That's where we are right now. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We will be right back. I'm Peter Rosenberger, and this is your Caregiver Minute. You ever notice that we're often put on the spot to somehow fix whatever happens to be the crisis of the day or the hour? Some folks feel free to point out the obvious as if we can't see it, and then impatiently demand that we come up with an answer. Caregivers don't need others to rehash the same problem we've obsessed over, nor do we need folks to place another unreasonable request on our shoulders. Asking those individuals for solutions and then just being quiet gives them a moment's pause to consider the complexity of our world as caregivers. While everyone has opinions, few have solutions, and even less have the humility to walk with you in suffering when no solutions are apparent. Asking complainers to give me a solution is a great way to redirect their complaining energy, and if needs be, send them on their way.
This has been your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger, brought to you by Standing with Hope. There's more information at standingwithhope.com. I'm forgiven.
How are you holding up? 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And we'd love to hear from you if you want to be a part of the show. I was telling the story of Gracie giving up her right leg back in 1991. And when she said, you know, I don't know what's on the other side of that operating room door, but I know who is. And that was really an extraordinary moment for me. I was freaking out, man. I was young. I was stupid. I was, you know, I didn't know. And here's my wife telling her surgeon, take off my right leg. They had reached the end of what they could do with it. And so she did. And it was all that you could imagine. It was traumatic. It was emotional and all those kinds of things, but she faced it. And then 4 years later, she did the same thing with her left leg and became then a double amputee. And she, I watched her come out of surgery that second time. And she was laying on the gurney, halfway sedated, and she had her hands lifted to heaven as they came out, and they were taking her to intensive care because that's where they had to deal with her afterwards. And she was singing the doxology, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." And you know what? She's doing the same thing now as she faces this challenge with the virus, which she has been tested positive for now. And I have not, but she has. And she is recovering. And she is, she doesn't feel great, but she is recovering and she has faced worse. As believers, this is our journey is, okay, do we trust him even in these kinds of things? And we have an opportunity to do so. Now, we're going to be quarantined together for a while, but we've been quarantined together for 34 years. So I imagine she's going to get quite tired of me and, you know, and look for some fresh air. We're going to go outside. We'll get outside and get some fresh air. Where we live, it's very cold, but she likes the cold weather. And as she starts to feel better, we'll get her out and get some fresh air for her and so forth. But we'll get the results back from my test on Monday. We'll let you know next week. How about that? You cannot catch it through the radio. I'm under that strong impression. And so we are... All right, so I know it's early in the morning. You know, we're dealing with the coronavirus. You don't expect great humor. I'm just giving you, you know, what I got right now. But it's, you know, we have faced worse as a couple. She has certainly faced worse as an individual. And it is scary. It is alarming. It is concerning. But we have faced worse. And we're going to come through this thing with confidence and common sense. And that's how we're going to do it as individuals. That's how we're going to do it as a couple. And that's how we're going to do it as a nation. And if you really want some, probably one of the best things you can do is turn off cable news. Just don't even watch it. I'm a news junkie. I confess to you, I am. I truly I consume vast quantities of politics and news and everything else. Gracie would tell you it's just annoying to be around me, and I consume these things. But I've had to turn it off. I would ask that you pray for our president. I look at the sniping that's going on from the media, asking him all these stupid questions, and I don't normally swerve into politics, but I got to tell you, the news media in this country. These people suffer from an extreme case of cranial rectal interface, and it is frustrating to watch. So just turn it off. This network, you got good stuff on this network. Listen to them. You got some good teaching, and download an audiobook. You know, download my audiobook. You can get it on it. You can download it today. Hope for the Caregiver out on Amazon. You can just get the book and just listen. But just anything but listening to the mainstream media. If you want to get updates on the medical stuff, just go to the CDC website. But if you listen to the mainstream media in this nation and on cable news, it'll make you just barking mad. I mean, you will just, it is insane to listen to these people. And so just continue to pray for our country, our president. Our vice president, isn't it amazing that we have, you know, excuse me, leadership in the White House that is willing to pray and to seek God on this? You know, that's something we can be grateful. Now, listen, we're gonna get through this, but we got to use some common sense. All right, we got to use some common sense. I'm gonna keep taking care of Gracie. She's gonna get through this. And she's going to be okay. We'll find out about me. But like I said, I'm not symptomatic. I haven't tested positive yet. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Have you ever helped somebody walk for the first time? I've had that privilege many times through our organization, Standing with Hope. When my wife, Gracie, gave up both of her legs following this horrible wreck that she had as a teenager, and she tried to save them for years, and it just wouldn't work out, and finally she relinquished them and thought, wow, this is it. I mean, I don't have any legs anymore. What can God do with that? And then she had this vision for using prosthetic limbs as a means of sharing the gospel, to put legs on her fellow amputees. And that's what we've been doing now since 2005 with Standing with Hope. We work in the West African country of Ghana, and you can be a part of that through supplies, through supporting team members, through supporting the work that we're doing over there. You could designate a limb. There's all kinds of ways that you could be a part of giving the gift that keeps on walking at standingwithhope.com. Would you take a moment to go out to standingwithhope.com and see how you can give? They go walking and leaping and praising God. You can be a part of that at Standing with Hope.
He'll give you hope for tomorrow, joy for your sorrow, strength for everything you go through. Remember, he knows the plans he has for you. Oh, yes, he does. He knows the plans he has.
Do you believe that?
Oh, thank you.
Do you believe that he knows the plans that he has for you? My wife believes it. That's her singing it. That's from her record, Resilient. That is my wife, Gracie, who is now, after 80 surgeries, both legs amputated, 100 doctors, 12 hospitals, 7 insurance companies, $11 million, is now fighting this coronavirus. And she has tested positive for it. She is doing okay, but that's from her record, Resilient, and she is indeed resilient. I have been tested, but I haven't had the results back yet. They wanted to just see what's going on with me. There's a lot of people that have tried to test me to see what's going on with me, but that's a whole different show. I'm not symptomatic, and they're all kind of looking at me with a raised eyebrow, wondering why I, as her 24/7 caregiver, that I am not, but we'll see. And I may end up testing positive for it. We're quarantined. We're not going anywhere for a while. And, but you know, that's for caregivers, that's not abnormal, is it? I mean, we're just, you know, that's kind of our journey. We're somewhat limited, with our independence and somewhat isolated on a given day. And, so we're going to walk through this thing. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. If you want to find out more, if you want to get the podcast, we'll put the show out there. The podcast is free. And here's somebody called in, want to know the scripture that I read. It's Proverbs 3:21-35. Proverbs is a great book to read if you want to get an MBA in God's wisdom. An MBA in God's wisdom. That's what it's like. It's a master class in wisdom. It is the master class in wisdom. But it's Proverbs 3:21. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. For those of you who are regular students of Scripture, have you ever seen a passage in Scripture where God says, okay, now's the time to panic. Okay, get out there and look frantic. No, there's not any there. I'll just give you the short answer. There's none out there that says that. And we trust in him. And I'm reminded of a couple of things. Daniel slept in the den of the lions. Elijah was being chased by Jezebel, and he slept while they were chasing him. Jesus slept in the boat when the storm was coming up. There's a real precedent for taking a nap in the midst of craziness. So there's a lot of craziness going on in this country. Rest. Take a nap if you need to. Be still. You just heard Gracie sing. He knows the plans that he has for you. Jesus, when he was on the boat in Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee, and he fell asleep in the boat, and the disciples came down and said, don't you even care? And he looked at him kind of with incredulity and just, you know, what's the matter with you guys? Don't you know who I am? And of course, they still hadn't figured all this out. Jesus knew that he came to this earth to die. And he lived fully as man. He shelved his divinity. He did not walk around with the full, it's hard to explain this, but one pastor explained this to me this way. He just basically shelved his divinity and was allowed to experience life as a man. And so that way he was free to marvel at the centurion. He was free to marvel at the woman who wanted to touch the hem of his garment. And when he was asleep on the boat on the Sea of Galilee and the storm came up, he was free to sleep because he knew he came to die, but he knew he wasn't going to die on the Sea of Galilee. And I think this is that same peace that's available to us to know that God has a purpose in all of these things. He has a plan in these things. And we don't always like the plan. And I can tell you that there are parts of that plan that are incredibly painful. And there are things about his sovereignty that are incredibly difficult to wrap your mind around. So where do you go in times like this? When you're taking care of a woman who has been through what my wife's been through, and now she tests positive for the coronavirus, you know, where do you go? Well, where does Scripture tell you to go? You go to Christ. You look to the cross, because that is the anchor of everything in our lives that God is promising for us. That is the fulfillment of all of it, is the cross. There's no other place to go. Man has nothing to offer you to calm your fears in such a way. At best, we can live peacefully in seasons of financial prosperity, or maybe our health or whatever, but we're all getting older. We're all declining. We're all going through these things, and it's only a matter of time. We give ourselves the illusion of comfort, but all creation is groaning. I'm looking out in front of me at this vast mountain landscape in Montana. It's extraordinarily beautiful. Everywhere I look out here is a postcard. And I see the snow-covered peaks. Every now and then I'll see a moose or deer or whatever. It is just exquisitely beautiful. But Scripture says that all of that is also groaning. All creation is groaning. And we're part of creation, and we're groaning. But that doesn't mean there's not beauty to be seen, and that doesn't mean there's not joy to be seen, but it means that it's all part of a groaning process, that God is making all things new, but it's in his time. And so when we have these massive pandemics like this, or when we have troubling times like these things, and they are troubling times. Where do you go? What do you do? I have watched Gracie be wheeled off on more gurneys than I care to remember to surgery. I've watched her groan in pain and scream in pain more times than I want to recall. I have looked at myself and seen things in me that caused me just to want to just crawl into the fetal position. We've seen it. We've done it. We've lived it. We still live it. But even in all of those things, I have seen such beauty, such joy, such wonderment, and such provision from God's hand in this. And so for those of you who are struggling with this morning, and I think we all are as a nation, I don't normally give my advice. I try to just share my experience, but I'm going to give a piece of advice. I'm going to break one of my rules, and I'm going to give a piece of advice. Calm down. Turn off the news media. Open your Bible. Open your hymnal. If you have one, if you don't, go Google it online and get the hymn online. you can go out to my podcast, and it's free. And I put out It Is Well With My Soul on my CD, Songs for the Caregiver. I think it's out there somewhere on my podcast. You can just listen to that. You can download the whole CD if you want to, but just on Spotify, whatever. You can just play it. But something that anchors you back to the eternal. Turn off the temporary and focus on the eternal. Be smart. Use common sense. We don't need to be stupid. But turn off some of these things and focus on the eternal. When you are encountering something like this that is way too big for us, that's the time to hang on to the one that it's not too big for. I'm not saying this from a place of theory. My wife has tested positive for the coronavirus. We're living it right now. Waiting on me. It's real. And it's here. Now the question is, are we going to react like a bunch of idiots? Or are we going to respond with common sense and trusting with in our Savior, knowing that his scarred hand is hanging on to our scared hand? That's hope for the caregiver. That conviction that we can live a calmer, healthier, and dare I say it, a more joyful life. Not because we're so strong, not because we're so wonderful, but because he is. I'm Peter Rosenberg. This is Hope for the Caregiver, hopeforthecaregiver.com. Go out and take a look. Be a part of what we're doing. And thank you for being part of the show today. We'll see you next week.